to the Gospel of Matthew. In Hebrew, that's pronounced Matiyahu, Matthew chapter 26. And we'll be beginning in verse 57. Matthew 26, 57. And today's message, which is a message that will be continued, maybe two or three other portions, it's entitled The Trials of Yeshua. Sometimes we think, well, God, why are you allowing these trials to come into my life? He's allowing them so that we can fulfill our call. Everything good and everything that stirs us and shakes us is allowed to come into our presence by the Father. Because he's given us provision to walk through these trials, these tribulations, and also the times of celebration, a birth of a child or a grandchild, a promotion at work, a change of occupation, a change of residence. God is always changing things. We're to hear his voice and walk therein. So now let us begin in Matthew 26, verse 57. Those who had seized Yeshua led him off to Caiaphas. In some of your translation, it's Caiaphas. The Kohen Hagadol, who was the high priest, where the Torah teachers and the elders were assembled. Caiaphas followed him at a distance, that's Peter, as far as the courtyard of the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest. Then he went inside and sat down with the guards to see what the outcome would be. Now, last Shabbat, Yeshua was what? He was bound. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and was bound. So now he's being taken away. He's now bound as the Lamb of God who's about to take away the sins of the world. So continue in verse 59. The head Kohanim, the head priest, and the whole Sanhedrin looked for some false evidence against Yeshua, so that they might put him to death. But they didn't find anything, even though many liars came forward to give testimony. At last, however, two people came forward and said, "This man said, 'I can tear down God's temple and build it again in 3 days.'" The two witnesses here, they misquoted Yeshua, saying that he would tear down the temple. But if you look in Yohanan, John 21, 19, it records this, that if they would tear down the temple, that in 3 days he would restore it. And so with this, Yeshua was speaking not of the temple itself on the mount, but he was speaking about his own body, that if they tore his temple down, that in 3 days he would rise it up again. And Yohanan explains the temple as being Yeshua's body, and the fulfillment was in his resurrection. So that's just a little sidelight there on verse 61 of Matthew 26.
Where is that from, Frank and John?
John, it's Yohanan, John 2:19. Yes, 21:19. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so now going on to verse 62 of Matthew 26. The Kohen Hagadol, the high priest, stood up and said, Have you nothing to say to the accusation that these are making? Because remember what they said? They said this, that Yeshua said himself that he was about to tear down the temple on the Temple Mount, which he did not say. They misquoted him. And so Yeshua remained silent. The Kohen Hagadol said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us, are you the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of God?" Yeshua remained silent. Yeshua's silence here was at the point where to be fulfilled by the prophet Yeshayahu is Isaiah. And this is what it says in Isaiah 53. "He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he does not open his mouth." And that's why Yeshua kept his mouth closed at that time. Continuing Matthew 63, tell us if you are the Mashiach, the Messiah. Yeshua said these words, they are yet but your own. Matthew 26:64. Yeshua said to him, that needs to be repeated for a second time, the words are your own. What was he basically saying? You've just said it. With your own mouth, you've said these things. But I tell you that one day you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Haguvarah, which is in Hebrew, the power. And this is a euphemism for God and the coming in the clouds of heaven. This is taken from Daniel 7:13, that says this. Daniel is now speaking. I kept watching the night visions when I saw coming with the clouds of heaven someone like the Son of Man. Also in Psalms, it's recorded in 110:1. Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so these were the scriptures that were playing in the minds of both the high priest and the members of the Sanhedrin, the Torah teachers and the Pharisees who were all assembled there. Yeshua was quoting scripture to them. Notice he's not sharing Matthew through Revelation because it has not been written yet. But he's quoting the Tanakh, the Psalms, and the prophets here. At this, the Kohen HaGadol tore his robes and he cried out, blasphemy. He said, why do you need any more witnesses? Did you not hear him blaspheme? Now, traditionally, if anyone tore their robes, it was a sign of mourning or shock. Even today, Jewish people, when they prepare themselves to go to a funeral, sometimes they'll wear a torn ribbon upon their clothes, but the Orthodox will actually take their shirt and pop the buttons off. So then when they go to the assembled time of the funeral, they show that their hearts are rent by the outward showing of their garments. And so what the high priest was believing here was that Yeshua was out of his mind. And so he was in shock that he would even profess to be the Messiah in these things. But Yeshua is claiming all these things. So there's yet a veil over their eye. He asks them, the Sanhedrin, so what is your verdict? Guilty, they answered. He deserves death. Verse 67. Then they spit in his face, and they pounded him with their fists. And those who were beating him said, now, you, Messiah, prophesy to us. Who hit you at this time? Now, this is not the high priest that's doing this. This is not the Sanhedrin that's doing this. This is not the Pharisees, the Purishim, or the Sadducees that are doing this. But these are those who are the guards that are doing this to Yeshua. They're doing these things to them. Continuing here, verse 69. Kepha Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard when the servant girl came up to him. You too were with Yeshua from Galilee, she said. But he denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about. He went out onto the porch, and another girl saw him, and she said to the people, this man was with Yeshua from Nazareth. Verse 72. Again he denied it, swearing, I do not know this man. After a little while, the bystanders approached Kepha, Peter, and said, you must be one of them. Your accent gives you away. And I've always wondered this when I read this portion of scripture. When people hear Yeshua speak to them, can they detect his Galilean accent? That's just food for thought, okay? All right. So continuing here, verse 74, this time he began to invoke a curse, this is Kepha, upon himself as he swore, I do not know the man, and immediately a rooster crowed. Kepha remembered what Yeshua had said, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he cried bitterly. So now a little bit of commentary and background. Everything about the trial of Yeshua was illegal from the start to the finish. He was considered guilty before the trial even began. It was conducted at night, which was illegal. All right? Why did they want to do it at night? Because everyone else was sleeping. When was this happening? Late at the wee hours of the very first night of Pesach. So it's around 1 or 2 in the morning that this is all going on. Okay? So continuing here. The Sanhedrin not only served as judges, but also as prosecutors. And I ask you this question. Where was Yeshua's defense attorney? He could have testified and defended his case by himself, but he chose not to. Why? Because this was the hour of darkness. This was a time when evil would arise. And for him to fulfill the Father's will, he had to allow these things to take place. Just a few hours earlier, when they came to arrest him, he came up, walked up to him, and he said, well, who are you looking for? And he said, I am. I am that I am. Was the scripture record? They all fell back, and they were laying down prostrate before him. He could have simply walked away. And notice here, he's not saying, I am that I am. Can you imagine? The Kohen HaGadol and Sanhedrin and all the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers and the temple guards would all fall before him and they couldn't do anything and he could simply walk away. But he's under restraint. He's walking in meekness. What is meekness? But strength under control so that he may fulfill the Father's will. Continuing here. False witnesses were secured. Notice that. These witnesses were called ahead of time. They rehearsed what they were about to say, and it was all lies or misquotations. So false witnesses were secured, even though the price of perjury in those days, which is lying, testifying something as being true when it's not, that during those days, that they would receive the same punishment as the accused would. Continuing, the death penalty sentences were to be sought over and carry a 3-day waiting period, during which period the Sanhedrin was to fast and pray to make sure that their decision was correct. Is this going on? Absolutely not. So in scripture here, many times we fail God. It is usually not out of our weakness, but out of our great strength. Amen. See, because two things are going here. Peter was confessing and saying to the Lord, I will never deny you. Even to death, I'm willing to lay my life down. But Yeshua knows what's going on. He sees Caiaphas' weakness, and he says to him, listen to me, Satan wants to take you and sift you as wheat. But listen, I prayed for you. You will deny me 3 times before the rooster crows, and with that, once you come back, once you've repented, go there and help restore your brothers. Because all of them have disowned him up to this point. They've all fled. We tend to be hard now on Kepha for taking his eyes off Yeshua when he was walking on the waves of the Sea of Galilee and he started to sink. But we must be honest, how many of us would have even gotten out of the boats and started walking on the waves when Yeshua said to us or to Kepha, please come to me. Yes, it is I, is walking on the winds and the waves. Remember, it was Kepha who drew the sword off and he cut the Kohen HaGadol's servant. And he did that action, what? To simply to defend Yeshua. But now he's afraid of the accusation of 2 servant girls. Remember when they were discussing at Pesach, who's the greatest? Kepha believed he was. But let's not look at just simply at Kepha. What about Abba Avraham, our father of faith? He is our father of faith. But when he left Canaan, which is Cana, and went down to Egypt and lied about Sarah as being his wife because he didn't have enough trust or faith that God would protect them. So he too failed in his area of strength, which was what? Faith and believing God. What about Moshe? The Tanakh records this, that he was the meekest of all men. And as I said earlier, meekness means strength under control. But what did he do? He lost control of his emotions. He got angry. He let the sun go down in his anger. What did he do? Before the sun set, he killed that Egyptian tax master. And later he struck the rock twice when he was told only to speak to it so that the water would flow. Next is Malachim David, King David. A man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery and premeditated murder. And he failed to be a man after God's own heart. Why? We all fail in these areas. As the saying goes, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10 these words: "Yes, I am well pleased in my weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulties endured on behalf of Messiah Yeshua. For it is when I'm weak that I'm strong." In other words, I'm depending upon Yeshua and not myself. Proverbs, Mishlei 16:18 declares that pride goes before destruction and arrogance before failure. The Brit Hadashah agrees and is recorded in 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he is standing up be careful lest he fall." It has also been said that a boastful person is tempting Hasatan, the devil, to tempt them. But know this, that even when we fail, God is always in control. Have there been roosters crowing in your own lives? There have been in mine. Kepha, like us, has failed, but God is still in control. 2 Timothy 2:13 declares this: "If we are faithless, if we've lost all trust, he, Yeshua, remains faithful, for he, Yeshua, cannot disown himself." So now we must remember what to do first when we have fallen and we fail. We must always repent, then rise up from our failures by what? By our own bootstraps? No, but by Yeshua's own power. Remember, who is it who sits on the throne of our lives but Yeshua himself? Remember now, Romans 8:28 through 30 says this: "Furthermore, we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Everything that the Father was allowing for Yeshua to face right now was the Father's will. Beatings, being spit, being crucified, it was all the Father's will. Because those whom he knew in advance, he also determined in advance would be conformed to the pattern of his son, Yeshua. So when we're facing trials and tribulation, just as Yeshua did, that's par for the course. Why would the Father want us not to endure what he had our elder brother go through? Now, none of us are going to be crucified on the cross or the execution stake for the redemption of the world. That's not our place. That's Yeshua's. But it says this, Yeshua said this: "Pick up your what? Your execution stake, your cross, and follow after him." So continuing here: "That he, Yeshua, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he thus determined in advance, he also called. And those he called, he also caused to be considered righteous. In the Father's eyes, we're all righteous, in and through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. And those whom he caused to be considered righteous, he also glorified." God is glorifying our bodies, our soul, and our spirit as we are being conformed in the image and likeness and character of his son, Yeshua. Continuing here. Abba, Father God has created us, and despite of our fallen nature, he desires that we won't remain that way. Tehillim, Psalm 103:14 declares this, for he understands how we are made. Why? He was the one who literally formed and shaped us in our mother's womb. He remembers that we are what but dust. Okay? Remember that. And someone may be offended hearing that. How can you say that, Rabbi? Well, what did Abba Yeshua do when he took Adam? He took clay, which is literally dust, and he formed it in his shape and likeness, and he simply breathed in his ruach within his bones. Continuing here. Whenever we fail, Yeshua is sympathetic. Why? He faced all the trials and tribulations that you and I will ever face, and he became victorious over that. Here now is our second witness. It is Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 59. About an hour later, another man asserted emphatically, there can be no doubt that this fellow was with him, speaking of Kepha, because he too is from Galilee. But Kepha said, man, I don't even know what you're about. And instantly while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord Yeshua then turned and looked straight at Kepha. Their eyes met. That's not recorded in Matthew, but it's recorded in Luke. And that's why all four good news, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not simply there just for our entertainment, that we may understand and understand the full story. Each shares a portion. Just like someone who's called as a witness into a trial, they give their opinion of what they saw, okay? Or what they heard others say. And that's what Luke is doing here, because Luke wasn't one of the original 12. He heard from the 11 surviving apostles what took place, and others that were part of the Messianic community. So continuing here, Lord Yeshua turned and looked straight at Kepha, Peter, and Kepha remembered what the Lord had said, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. At the moment Kepha disowned Yeshua, he turned and he saw him, and their eyes met. Think of the betrayal there. Think of Kepha's words. Even if I have to lay down my life for you, I will do it. But you know this, our Redeemer, he knows how frail we are. He knew that that was a true desire of Kepha. But he wanted to let him know that Satan wanted to use this situation. Just think of Kepha would have become so depressed and said, you know what? Judas turned him over. But when there was opportunity to bear witness to the high priest, because he was a witness right out in the courtyard. We don't see Yeshua say, well, I heard now all your witness. Now I want to act as my defense attorney. Now let me call my witness here. Kepha, can you come and share the truth? But he did not even put that pressure on Kepha, because he knew he would just simply fall apart. Continuing here. And he, Kepha, went outside and he cried bitterly. Meanwhile, the guards, who were holding Yeshua made fun of him. They beat him and they blindfolded him. And they kept asking him, now prophesy, who hit you at this time? See, Matthew doesn't give us that definition of who's doing this. And you could assume, well, the high priest is doing this, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the scribes are doing this. They're not doing it. This is the guards that are doing these. And they, the guards, said many insulting things to him. See, Matthew left that all out. But we get furthermore, another layer of testimony to get the full picture of what truly transpired. Now we look at the last witness. His name is John, Yohanan. Chapter 18, we begin in verse 12. You know what's about to blow your minds? Yohanan goes along and he follows. But if you simply read Matthew and Mark and Luke, there's no mention of Yohanan being there at this trial. Let's investigate now. So the detachment of Roman soldiers. Matthew doesn't mention that there were a detachment of Roman soldiers along with the temple guard. But John gives us those insights. And their captain, together with the temple guard and of the Judeans, arrested Yeshua and they tied him up. And they took him first to Anan. Wait a second. He's not the high priest. Why are they going there first? See, Yohanan's about now to reveal to us something that was not given in the testimony of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So he took him first to Anan, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was a Kohen Gadol that fateful year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Judeans that it would be good for one man to die on the behalf of the people. Shimon Caiaphas and another Talmid, which is another disciple, Yohanan, followed Yeshua. The second Talmid, the second disciple, was known to the Kohen HaGadol. All right? He knew him intimately. He knew Anan, who was a former high priest. And he went up with Yeshua into the courtyard of the Kohen HaGadol. See, he went past that area where the fire was being made, and the guards were all standing. To have access to that, they recognized who he was, Yohanan the disciple. So continuing here, verse 16, but Caiaphas stood outside by the gates. So the other Talmud, the other disciple, the one whom the Kohen HaGadol knew him, went back out and spoke to the woman on duty at the gates. Wait a second. Isn't that breaking with tradition here? Aren't the men supposed to be in charge of the gate? Well, this high priest had exalted a woman to be the one that would allow people into the courtyard here. And that was her position there. Okay? So when we're in verse 16. But Caiaphas stood outside the gate, so the other Talmid, the other disciple, the one whom the Kohen HaGadol knew, went back out and spoke to the woman on duty at the gate, then brought Caiaphas inside. So basically, Yohanan said this to the woman, you know who I am. It's okay. He's with me. All right? So continuing here, verse 17. The woman at the gate said to Caiaphas, aren't you another of that man's, who's that man, but Yeshua's Talmudim disciple? He said, no, I'm not. So anyway, now he's backing away. Okay, so not only is he denying his association and disowning Yeshua before those who were assembled, but also a fellow disciple, John, here. So continuing here in verse 18. Now the slaves and the guards had lit a fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it warming themselves, and Caiaphas joined them and stood warming himself too. The Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, questioned Yeshua about his Talmudim and what he taught. Now is that recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke? No, because this is the former high priest, Anan, the father-in-law to Caiaphas. So let's continue here. Yeshua answered, I have spoken quite openly to everyone, and I've always taught in the synagogue or in the temple where all the Jews meet together, and I've said nothing in secret. Continuing in verse 20. So why are you questioning me? Question the ones who heard what I said to them. Look, they know what I said. And while Yeshua is saying this, I believe he's looking at Yohanan. And at any moment he can say, now, there's Yohanan. He's now been with me for over 3 years. He can come and testify to these things that I'm saying and these things I've taught, that have taught people about the Tanakh. I gave them revelation. And all these things I've done because they saw the Father doing these things. But he doesn't call, and he does not bring out that Yohanan is a witness there. Continuing here. Verse 22. And at these words, one of the guards standing slapped Yeshua in the face and said, "This is how you talk to the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest?" Yeshua answered him, "If I've said something wrong, state publicly what is wrong. But if I was right, why then are you hitting me?" So as we face persecution, as we're being falsely accused and imprisoned, and there's a death sentence laying over our heads, how are we to conduct ourselves? With respect and simply speak the truth. Who is empowering Yeshua right now but the Spirit of the living God, that he may fulfill all what the Father asked for him to do? So continuing here, verse 24. So Anan sent him, still tied up. Just think about that. Yeshua's standing there, a guy hits him, and he can't even defend himself. Why? Because he's tied up. So Anan sent him, still tied up, to Caiaphas, the Kohen HaGadol, his son-in-law. You see, in John doesn't even record Yeshua's meeting with Caiaphas. He skips over that. And just to give you a little bit of background about Anan, this is what Dr. David Stern has written. First, they led him, Yeshua, to Anan, the stepfather of the high priest. Only Yohanan, John, tells of this irregular preliminary hearing. Anan had been the Kohen Gadol, high priest, from the 6th to the 15th Common Era time period. Many members of his own family became high priests, Kohen Gadols, after him, including 5 of his own sons, as well as his son-in-law, Caiaphas. He retained this title after leaving the office. Just like today, if I saw President Barack Obama on the street, I would address him as President Obama, right? Because he's still president, or Clinton, or any of those other, you know, the Bushes. I would call them, you know, president or former president in that. And so this is how Anan is being addressed. And with all his knowledge of serving as the high priest, they looked first to what his judgment would be on the situation. See, he's not gathered then with the Sanhedrin. And this is where at times the good news becomes confusing, right? Because how many times have you read through the scripture and thought, well, this is all together? No, these are separate occasions. And there's great significance because of how the Spirit of the Living God instructed them to do. It is obvious that he, Anan, remained a powerful behind-the-scenes figure. Perhaps this is why his advice on how to deal with Yeshua was sought first. It's recorded in Yohanan 18:14. This is what Caiaphas said. Caiaphas said this: "It would be better for one man to die on behalf of the people. For this reason, even though he, Caiaphas, the high priest, was an evil man, Abba, Father God, used him, Caiaphas, to prophesy, because his office carried the weight. So Yeshua did fulfill what Isaiah 53:6 says. All of us are like sheep and have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Adonai has laid upon him the iniquity, which is the sins of us all. Yeshua did pay the death penalty for sin in lieu of and on behalf of Israel. And also on behalf of all non-Jews, found in Romans 5:12. So now continuing here. In verse 23, 22. And at these words, the guards, 23. And Yeshua answered him and said, "What I've done, if I've done something wrong publicly, it was wrong. But if I was right, why are you hitting me? So Anan sent him and tied him up and sent him to Caiaphas, the Kohen HaGadol, his son-in-law. Meanwhile, Shimon Kepha was standing and warming himself. And they said to him, aren't you also one of his Talmudim? He denied it, saying, no, I'm not. One of the slaves of the Kohen HaGadol, a relative of the man whose ear Kepha had cut off, said, didn't I see you with him in the grove of trees? And think about that. This person witnessed what Kepha did, taking out the sword and cutting off the ear. And what does the scripture say? Yeshua says, leave them alone, but let me do this first. He goes and he places his hand upon that servant's ear of the high priest, and he heals it. And so that person there had saw what took place there. And that person now says, I saw you in the grove of trees. And what does he say? So again, Kepha denied it. And instantly, the rooster crowed. Here was an opportunity for him to give testimony. And say, yeah, I was the one. Did you see what I did? I'm very, very sorry what I did. When I took that sword. And she would then say, you know, you cut off one of my relatives' ears, and you had disqualified him in serving in the temple, because anyone who is defiled or has a deformity could not serve in the temple because of that. But Yeshua, out of his grace and mercy, he healed my relative that he may continue to serve the Lord in the temple. So you got to look at all these different angles. People are watching us. They're observing what we do, both at home and work. And they want to see if the Redeemer truly lives within us and if we're truly walking in the hope, which is our salvation in Yeshua. You know, the best part is that Kepha was restored and he strengthened his brothers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So even in the midst of our failures, God has a redemptive plan, that we would simply learn from our lessons and rise again up in the power and the anointing we have in Yeshua. Yeshua, Abba, Father God, and Ruach HaKodesh knows Kepha in our future. It is victorious as we allow the Ruach HaKodesh to perfect us in the image and likeness and character of Messiah. To his name all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen.